Hey everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to Miles on the Grid. I'm your host, Miles. In this week's episode, we will be discussing the Hungarian Grand Prix, the crash at the start, the fallout, the implications for the title, the race itself with a very special race winner, and we'll see how we get on from there. So let's get straight into it. So we started off on the back of the Silverstone Grand Prix about 3 weeks ago. There was a massive controversy at Silverstone, as discussed in the last episode, where Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen had a collision. Max ended up having severe damage to his engine. He was quite badly hurt or winded, had to go to hospital for CT scans. And there was this massive reaction on not only social media, but from the team bosses. So we had Christian Horner and Helmut Marko stating their case. And then we also had Toto Wolff and Andrew Shovlin and the rest of the Mercedes management stating their case. This spilled into some interesting comments and also some unfortunate nasty comments on social media between supposed fans of the sport. I don't know if it's fair to call them fans. Racism or abusive comments to Lewis Hamilton doesn't constitute you to be a fan. It just makes you a tosser, if I'm completely honest. But there you go. So that was simmering in the background. Max and Lewis were asked constant questions about this the whole race weekend, with Max actually getting quite frustrated at one question from Tom Clarkson in the press conference. So I refused to answer that. So it came to qualifying. Lewis qualified first, with Bottas in second and Verstappen in third. It didn't seem like it was Red Bull's weekend. I didn't know whether it was because they were running conservative power modes due to what happened with Max's engine and with Sergio taking a new engine himself, which was both, I think, their third of the season so far. But Mercedes cars just seemed to suit the track really well. They seemed to react to the lower downforce wing really, really well. And I think that the floor changes that they made at Silverstone helped to aid them around the track as well. So congrats to Lewis on reaching 101 poles officially. I know that he was on pole for Silverstone, but it wasn't the actual pole position for the race because that was decided by the sprint. So this is his official 101st pole position. Other highlights from qualifying. Well, unfortunately, we had Schumacher and Sainz crash. Sainz span out at the final turn. Schumacher had a bit of an off. I think it was turn 8, which was quite unfortunate as well. But both were able to get their cars up and running for the race, which was nice to see. I stand corrected. Those were both in FP3, not in qualifying. But yeah, Mercedes looked to have the upper hand all weekend up until that point. So let's talk about the race. Now, the race was interesting because we had cool conditions, quite dry conditions, with I think temperatures reaching 60 degrees on track on Friday and then on Saturday. But on Sunday, we saw that there was quite a bit of rain. So we had rain in the earlier race. And then when it came to F1, the track was starting to get quite soaked. So kicking off, Hamilton and Verstappen made a really good start, as did Sergio Perez. Valtteri Bottas, unfortunately, didn't make a good start. He was actually jumped by both Lando Norris and Perez and Verstappen. But what happened was that Bottas completely misjudged his braking point. Now, it was unfortunate because I was hoping that he could potentially recover and get to third place, but it was very clear by the end of the first straight that an incident was going to occur. He hit the back of Lando Norris. It could have been due to dirty air. It could have been due to a lack of downforce, which he claimed, although Norris and Perez were not impressed with that explanation. And unfortunately, that collision sparked a humongous collision, which ended up taking out nearly half of the grid. So Bottas crashed into Lando Norris. Norris then subsequently hit Max Verstappen. Bottas also hit Sergio Perez as a result of this. It meant that others were having to pick different braking lines and different braking points. So Charles Leclerc tried to avoid some of the damage. Lance Stroll, I don't know what he was doing, whether he was trying to avoid the accident itself or whether he was just trying to get ahead on the grass and pick a different line. He ended up smashing into the side of Charles Leclerc, So by the end of it, Leclerc then hit Ricciardo, and it meant that most, but it meant that half of the cars on the grid ended up damaged, at least if not six. This put the race, as you would think, in Lewis Hamilton's hands. But quietly, Esteban Ocon and Sebastian Vettel, who didn't make the greatest of starts but recovered quite well, ended up in P2 and P3. So I'm there sitting at the TV thinking, what's going to happen now? You know, like Hamilton, obviously, in my mind, was going to just dominate and sprint away with a win now, because Verstappen was carrying car damage. He was missing quite a bit of his barge board, and a few different parts were hanging off the car. But we had a red flag. The red flag lasted for about 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the track started to dry out and the sun came out. Now, this is where the race got interesting, because everyone in the pits pitted for new tyres. They pitted for slicks, for mediums, basically, or for softs, depending upon their strategy. But Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes chose to stay out. So they chose to stay out, and it was really weird because you had the red flag restart. You had Hamilton being the only car on the grid. He took off because he was on inters. He knew that he was going to get caught if he wasn't careful, and he had to watch for grip levels as well. George Russell pulled a masterclass in the pit lane and ended up jumping all the other cars at the start to actually de facto lead the Grand Prix. So that by the time that Hamilton came round, he was aiming to be in front. Didn't necessarily work out for him because he had a bit of a slight power issue, which caused him to drop back into P7 and then subsequently into P8. But I thought that was a masterclass and something that we didn't see any other driver attempt. So bravo, George. But yeah, Hamilton or Mercedes' decision, and I know that either both sides have said it was a mix-up and, you know, no one was fully at fault to blame. I think given the fact that radio conversations were allowed, Mercedes should have been saying to Hamilton, the track is dry. But likewise, Hamilton should have been pulling Mercedes up in the rain saying, look, you know, the track is dry. We're going to go for slicks, or the track is dry and we're going to go for slicks during the red flag. Either way, it didn't matter. Hamilton ended up coming out in the last place on the grid. During the pit lane there, or during the sort of safety car restart, we actually had a bit of an incident between Kimi Raikkonen and Nikita Mazepin, with Mazepin being released or being launched with Raikkonen being launched into Mazepin's path as he was entering the pit lane, which actually caused Mazepin to have to retire from the race, which was quite unfortunate for him. It didn't feel right seeing that, and Kimi subsequently got a 10-second time penalty. When it came to the restart itself, Esteban Ocon and Sebastian Vettel took off. It was really nice because I'm a massive fan of Ocon. I think that he has such potential. And given the story behind his background, which I've been following a little bit, and then it was further explained on Drive to Survive a couple of seasons ago, it's nice to see a nice person, someone whose heart's in the right place, take the race win. Now, that's not to say that Lewis or Max don't have nice hearts or any other race winner, but with Ocon, I feel like there's a genuine sense of, I want to be in F1 and I'm trying to make it my dream. And he ended up winning the race. I'm trying to condense the podcast, so please forgive me if I do skip over a few different things. But Ocon held off pressure from Vettel the whole race. His pit stop was immaculate, so credit to the Alpine team for that. That was ridiculous, because Aston Martin were not far behind. He ended up coming out, I think it was less than a hundredth of a second in front of Vettel. And then they started to battle all the way to the finish again. Yuki Tsunoda had a very good race, as did Nicholas Latifi. So Tsunoda, I think, spun on lap 63 or 64, but it didn't seem to deter his race. Pierre Gasly as well did quite well. And Carlos Sainz was running really well up in P3 up until the end when Lewis passed him. Now, the reason why I'm not necessarily talking about Lewis and Fernando is because I wanted to get to it in a second. Other key drivers or features from the race included Max driving this half-dead car around the ring for 65 laps, which to me was mightily impressive. You know, Max could have easily said, look, I'm going to retire the car, let's see what we can do. But he wanted to limit any damage that Hamilton could make into his championship lead, which unfortunately I don't think he was able to do much. He managed to take 2 points at the end. But he had a really nice overtake on Mick Schumacher, and him and Mick had a bit of a battle going through turns 3 and 4 early on in the race. Mick showed his class, and he showed that what he could do in potentially a much better car up against Verstappen. Yes, Max got a little bit argy-bargy on turn 3, I think it was, but you know, he's missing half a car. He had no downforce, basically, or half a downforce that his car should have had. So for me, it wasn't necessarily something that he could have avoided. But I'm just grateful that he was able to finish the race from a sporting perspective. And Daniel Ricciardo, he was doing so well to hold off Max for so many laps, and then eventually he got passed because he also had damage as well. When it came to Kimi Raikkonen, he did manage to come in the points because of a controversy that happened with Sebastian Vettel's fuel levels afterwards. But it was a bit of a nightmare race from him as well. Now, coming to my two stars of the show, we had Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. For me, they were the drivers of the day. Lewis made the charge from 14th, going all the way up to third on the grid, but Fernando Alonso did not make it easy for him at all. Alonso showed the racecraft, the guile, that bestows a two-time world champion. You know, so I think sometimes we forget that Fernando Alonso was a two-time world champion and one of the youngest champions that F1 has ever seen back in his Renault days, like 2005 and 2006. And it was almost like we were going back to 2007, when Lewis and Fernando would battle each other in Lewis's rookie year. And we all know how that turned out with the acrimony in the team, as well as accusations being pushed left, right and centre. And, you know, that infamous incident with Fernando holding Lewis up in the pits so that he couldn't finish on that. But this was classic racing. This was racing out on the limit. This was racing at its edge. And this, to me, demonstrated why I love Formula One so much, and I'm sure most of you do as well. It was a defensive masterclass from Fernando Alonso. Lewis was picking lines left, right, and centre. He tried to go up the outside multiple times at turn 3 and turn 4. Didn't work. Fernando put the blockers on. He tried to go up the inside at turn 1. Fernando put the blockers on. And we're talking about Lewis, who had gone for the second stop. He was going for the race win, you know, and his pace was ridiculous. I think at one point he was lapping faster than Ocon two laps into his new set of tyres. But Fernando knew this, and Fernando knew that even with DRS, he could put up a good fight. And it wasn't until he locked up after, I think, 10 and a half laps of defending against Lewis that Lewis was able to make the move, put some pressure, and then get past. Now, I've seen people online saying, you know, Alonso, that just proves how much better Alonso is. Lewis is a fraud, blah, 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 this, that. No, it doesn't. What it proves is that they're both supreme racers who are racing right on the limit. Yes, they had a little bit of a touch, but to me, that's what racing is about. It's about seeing how you can defend, how you can attack. It's not just all out, go as fast as you can. It's about racecraft, and it's about understanding your tyres. Lewis could have said, you know what, I'm just going to put this move and let it stick. But he knew that he had world championship points that he didn't want to risk. And the same thing for Fernando. Fernando knew that Lewis needed those points, so he was going to do whatever it took in order to make him really fight for that position. I was just really impressed. To me, it was one of the best battles that we've seen in the last few years. It took me back to Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg back in Bahrain. The duel in the desert, as it were, back in 2014. Heck, it took me back to Lewis and Fernando Alonso at the Chinese Grand Prix in 2010. It was classic racing, and it was nice to see. So hopefully with the introduction of the new regulations for next year, if Fernando and Lewis can be in compatible cars, and Max as well, and hopefully Charles Leclerc, I would love to see those four, and maybe Lando Norris as well, dueling it out, just seeing where the edge of a track is, seeing how they can really push on the edge of their of their capabilities and their limits, because yeah, that'll be something to see. But finally, I just wanted to dedicate some extra time to Sebastian Vettel. He was reprimanded by the stewards for a t-shirt that he wore, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to wear it again. I don't care. They can disqualify me." Now, when he said that, I thought, "Good on you, Seb. You know what? You're making a stand." But the stewards did try and disqualify him, and they did. Although it wasn't for the t-shirt that he wore, or the memorabilia, should I say, it was actually for a fuel issue. So we saw at the end of the Grand Prix, Seb came in P2, Ocon in P1, and Lewis in P3. But we saw Seb having to run across track because his car had run out of fuel, it seemed. This led to me thinking, hold on, please let him not get a grid penalty or some sort of penalty at Spa later on in August for that, because I've seen it not happen in the past, but it's something which has happened on different occasions in different racing events. But the stewards actually felt that they couldn't collect a fuel sample from his car. Now, Aston Martin and Otmar Szafnauer, they pushed back on this, saying, you know, there was enough fuel in the car. But the legal limit within F1 that the FIA have to achieve is 1 litre of fuel. Now, they said that every other single car on the grid, including the Williams that George was driving, met that requirement. But unfortunately, Seb's didn't. Now, I've seen conspiracy theories left, right and centre saying, oh, you know, it's the Mercedes pushing to get P2. Lewis rebuffed that on Instagram, saying, you know, he wished that Seb was able to get P2. And I don't honestly think that Mercedes were pushing for that. I think it's just an unfortunate incident or an unfortunate racing regulation that needs to be changed potentially. But yeah, Seb drove his heart out. Really, really drove well. And I was actually looking forward to seeing Aston Martin collect those points, but here's hoping they can do some in the next race. But that is my mini race review from this weekend's Grand Prix. Please, if you have any questions, any points that you want to raise, or even any discussion points, please message me on Twitter @MilesOnTheGrid, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.